Is that it, Mike?
Hello, my name is Tim, and I am a recovered alcoholic. Contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Let's have a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
We would like to welcome you back to the 40s. How Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s, more than 50 years ago, after the publication of the Big Book. The recovery rate for alcoholism within the fellowship of AA was 75%. AA's program, as practiced then, was quite different from the program that is practiced today. That is, the AA program is unchanged, but the way it is practiced has changed. To produce such an astounding recovery rate, what was done in the early days of AA? Well, that is what we are going to do. We are going to take an in-depth look at Alcoholics Anonymous worked in the 1940s. We've asked
Patrick
to read the AA preamble as appeared in the first edition of the Big Book in 1939.
We are not an organization in the conventional sense of the word. There are no fees or dues whatsoever. The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. We are not allied with any particular faith, sect, or denomination, nor do we oppose anyone. We simply wish to be helpful to those who are afflicted.
Thank you, Patrick. The drinking person. If you absolutely cannot refrain from drinking, start a saloon in your own home. Give your family $25 to buy a gallon of whiskey. There are 128 drinks in a gallon to buy all of your drinks from your family at $1 a shot. And in 4 days, when the gallon is gone, your family will have $103 to put in the bank and $25 to buy another gallon. If you live 10 years and buy all your booze from your family and then die with the shakes and snakes in your boots, they will have $127,300 in the bank, enough to bury you respectably, bring up your children, buy a house, and a lot of wonderful things, like forgetting they ever knew you, a drunk like you. This is the fourth class in a series based upon the 1944 pamphlet. AA, an interpretation of our 12 steps. It was reprinted throughout the United States, and as a result of the way the 12 steps were taught, it was instrumental in the 75% rate back in the 40s. These are classes where we take the steps together. We cannot get this AA program through effortless absorption of ideas. It takes action. Back in the 40s, an approach was that just about everyone who came into AA was taken through a very simple process. The groups that were established would have a secretary who greeted the newcomer at the door. The secretary would then go down the list of members and appoint and introduce the newcomer to a sponsor. It was the sponsor's responsibility to guide the newcomer through the classes and the 12 steps, right out of the Big Book. There was no hesitation in this recovery process. They blasted through it. There was a 75% success rate. It was always the same package deal, no matter how the newcomer got to AA. Family, friends, doctors, significant others, courts, ministers, etc. Whether the newcomer walked in off the street or came from the hospital, the asylum, jail, no matter how they got to AA, they were taken through the same process. No exceptions, no variations. The newcomer was responsibly taken care of. They were given access to one single message. The message was, and still is, in the Big Book, period. There was no time wasted on problems outside of alcoholism. AA deals with one message, one purpose, one requirement, and one illness. Just one thing, alcoholism only and alcoholics only. AA cannot be all things to all people. There are several benefits to look forward to in AA. We won't discover them, sorry to say, if we don't do the work and continue to do the work. If we just wallow around living with untreated alcoholism, we will go back out and die an alcoholic death. This is always a life and death situation. Our lives are always in alcoholism. Just nonstop action in the solution that is the big book, period. In review of the last three classes, let's look at what we have done and where we are in this recovery process from page 72.
From page 72, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator.
Which is steps 1, 2, and 3.
And to discover the obstacles in our path, we have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our fingers on the weak items in our inventory.
Which is step 4.
Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
Which is step 5. Now that we have taken steps 1 through 5, let's consider these pertinent questions.
We ask if we have admitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement that put into the foundation? We have tried to make mortar. Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Remember, always spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. We consider these questions very carefully, keeping in mind that more will be revealed as we go forward into the recovery process. So, if this is the best you can do, then that is good enough. Let's listen as Barbara reads steps 6, 7 from the 1944 pamphlet.
Step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character.
Let's consider these 7 points. Point number 1.
After admitting our wrong thinking and wrong actions in step 5, we now do something more than admit or confess.
Point number 2.
We now become ready and willing to have God remove the defects of our character.
Point number 3.
Remember, it is our character we are working on, not the other fellows. Here is a good place to drop the critical attitude toward others, the superior attitude towards others.
Point number 4.
We must clean our mind of wrong thinking, petty jealousy, envy, self-pity, remorse.
Point number 5.
Here is the place to drop resentments, one of the biggest hurdles the alcoholic has to get over.
Point number 6.
What concerns us here is that we drop all thoughts of resentment, anger, hatred, revenge.
Point number 7.
We turn our will over to God and let His character direct us to how to patiently remove one by one all defects of our character.
Let's listen as Barbara reads step 7 from the pamphlet.
Step 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings.
The meaning of this step is clear. Prayer, humility. There are 3 points to consider. Point number 1.
Prayer. No man can tell you how to pray. Each one has or works out for himself his own method. If we cannot pray, we just talk to God and tell Him our troubles. Meditate. Think clearly, cleanly, and ask God to direct our thoughts. Christ said, "Ask and you shall receive." What method is simpler? Merely ask. You cannot pray. Ask God to teach you how to pray.
Point number 2.
Humility. This simply is the virtue of being ourselves and realizing how small we are in a big world of our own troubles. Drop all pretense. We must not be Mr. Big Shot. Bragging, boasting, shed false pride. Tell the simple, plain, unvarnished truth. Act, walk, and talk simply. See the little bit of good that exists in an evil man. Forget the little bit of evil that exists in the the good man. We must not look down on the very lowest of God's creatures or man's mistakes. Think clearly, honestly, fairly, generously.
Point number three.
The shortcomings we ask God to remove are the very defects in character that make us drink. The same defects we drink to hide or to get away from. Open our books to 76.
Mm-hmm. Open our books.
Yeah. Open your books to page 76.
Line one. Here we have the timeline, requirements, directions, and explanation to step six. You might mark that page, page 76, line one.
All right. If we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. We are now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable. Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go.
And here we have the six-step prayer.
We ask God to help us be willing.
It tells us, if we are satisfied, willing, and ready, then the requirements, timeline, and directions have been met for step six. Just be willing, and you can proceed. If not, pray for willingness and move on. Remember, this equation from here on out, willingness minus action equals procrastination. The things that are objectionable, meaning, or grosser handicaps, are grosser handicaps, which are resentments, fears, and harms done on our God's business to remove in his time. These three things are the exact nature of our wrongs. These have been blocking us. Our defects of character or shortcomings are that we've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate throughout our lives. This is how we reacted and responded throughout our drinking careers. These defects are our business. These defects are our business. This is the turning point. With the principles of willingness and humility, we are guided to do our part, and we realize now that we desperately need God's help and the rest of the steps and all of his loving advisors if we are going to change for the better. So, if you are ready to take step seven together, we can do this by repeating the prayer found on page 76, line 8. So 76, line 8. The timeline requirements and directive.
Read page.
When we're ready to...
Yeah. Page 76, line 17. Okay, I took that for you. When we are ready, we say something like this.
All together, let's take step seven. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
We have then completed step seven.
Next paragraph, on this same page, we have a timeline and a requirement and a warning.
Now we need more action, without which we find that...
Here, continuing with the same sentence, we are given the sixth and seventh step promise.
Faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9.
Let's listen as Barbara reads steps 8 and 9 from the 1944 pamphlet.
Step 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Under this step, we will make a list of those we have harmed. And does everybody have that page?
Yeah.
Harm's done?
Yeah.
They have the...
Yeah. So page 7. And then
read that to me.
We ask God to let His will be done, not our will, and ask for the strength and courage to become willing to forget resentments, false pride, and make amends to those we have harmed. We must not do this step grudgingly as an unpleasant task to be rid of quickly. We must do it willingly, fairly, humbly, without condensation. Step 9, make direct amends to people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Here's where we make peace with ourselves, by making peace with those we've hurt. The amends we make must be direct. We must pay in kind for the hurt we have done them. If we cheated, we must make restitution. If we have hurt their feelings, we must ask forgiveness from them. The list of harms done may be long, but the list of amends is equally long. For every wrong we have done, there is a right we may do to compensate. There is only one exception. We must develop a sense of justice, a spirit of fairness, an attitude of common sense. If our effort to make amends would create further harm or cause scandal, we will have to skip the direct amends and clean the matter up under step 5. Stay on page 76 and look at line 17. This is step 8.
We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal.
The four kinds of amends are:
number 1,
now;
2,
later;
3.
Later. Sorry.
Three, maybe.
Chair, maybe.
There you go. There you go. And number 4.
Never let's continue with line 20.
Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which have accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves.
Next, we have the 8-step prayer.
If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes.
Here we have a major requirement for sobriety.
Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol.
We read earlier that faith without works is dead. Faith, in this context, simply means it doesn't matter what happened to you as much as what you do now about it. The work begins here. Step 8 and 9 are not about fixing the recovering individual. They are about repairing the damage that was done and taking responsibility for our lives and our actions from here on out. We do this by the principles of justice and brotherly love, good judgment, and self-discipline. Go to page 77, line 3.
This is our real purpose in sobriety, page 77, line 3.
Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us.
This is the main attitude we need to carry with us from here on out. This is the reason, requirement, and goal in our lives, to continue, maintain, and grow in the recovery process. So let's read about step 9 and look at 4 situations, the 3 warnings, 2 requirements, 5 prayers, and directions to the restitution phase. And these are the tools that we use and the attitudes we carry for the amends process. Go to line 13, same page.
A demonstration of goodwill.
Skip 2 lines.
When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense.
Skip 3 lines.
A better attitude.
Go to line 26 for another requirement.
We go to Him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
Next paragraph, we have a warning.
Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are here to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. Boy, we skip to our own.
These are 12 steps down to humility. Remember to use the spiritual principles of justice and brotherly love, good judgment, and self-discipline. Let's continue to go to line 12, and here we have a requirement.
We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
We take the action. That's our part. God's part is the outcome. Next, we have a warning. Go to line 14.
We do not dodge our creditors, telling them what we are trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking.
Continue to line 17, another warning.
Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism.
And on line 21, another requirement.
Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry.
Line 23, a warning.
We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
We must go to any length. This is the life and death errand. Next, we have some situations we may have to face in sobriety. Line 26, the book tells us of 10 such situations. Number one.
Committed a criminal offense.
Skip a line. Skip line numbers 2 and 3.
Shorten our accounts and unable to make good.
Next line, numbers 4 and 5.
If we would be imprisoned or lose our job.
Next line, situation number 6.
A petty offense. Maybe we are divorced and have remarried.
Next line, number 9.
We haven't kept up on the alimony.
Next line, have we the last situation in number 10.
Has a warrant out for our arrest.
Remember, step 9 is not about fixing me. It's about making the world in which we live better. Now, in summary, the book tells us, next paragraph, same page.
Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience.
The 9th step prayer.
We ask to be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequence may be.
Continue reading line 11. Here we have another requirement.
We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
We must be willing to make amends wherever possible. And on line 15, we have a warning.
We are not to be hasty and foolish. Martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit.
Remember the 9th step prayer. Now go to page 80, line 1. And the book tells us of some more directions and a couple of options to consider before making amends.
Page 80, line 1.
Before taking drastic action,
skip a line.
Have consulted with others, ask God to help.
Think about this. When making amends, there are a couple of options to consider. You can go stand in the corner and count yourself and see what you come up with. Or run it by your sponsor and loving advisors and pray on it. Line 24, same page, we have a warning.
He saw that he had placed the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again.
You've heard about faith with works. Well, this is works with faith. Go to page 81, line 17. Here we have a requirement.
Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it.
We take action, but use caution. Go to line 25, and here we have a prayer.
We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do.
A prayer that says we have limitations, so keep it simple. Go to the last paragraph.
Our design for living is not a one-way street.
A heart that beats only in one direction eventually dies. Go to page 82, line 11 for more directions.
Page 82, line 11.
Good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than a risk of face-to-face combat.
Use caution. Ask yourself, is it helpful or harmful? Next, we have a warning. Skip a line to line 15.
Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober.
Stopping drinking isn't the cure to what is wrong with us. Alcohol is just a symptom. And as we continue to read, the book explains what we have wrought over our drinking careers. Continue reading with the last paragraph on the same page.
The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderable habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who comes up out of the cyclone cellar to find his house ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?"
Go to line 1, page 83. Here we have another requirement.
Page 83, line 1.
Very good. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead.
Take responsibility, but give it time. Next, we have another prayer, the family prayer, line 7.
So we clean house with a family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love.
Go to the next paragraph, and here we have a major factor for sobriety.
The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it.
It is better to act your way into right thinking than it is to think and feel your way into right living. Go to line 15 for another major fact.
Our behavior will convince them more than our words.
Take it easy, but do it. Remember, actions are louder than words. Go to line 25, and here are some final requirements.
We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone.
Remember always that these are 12 steps down to humility, not 12 steps up to Mr. or Mrs. Magnificent. Humility isn't thinking less of me, it is thinking of me less. To be so humble that you can't be humiliated. In summary, there are a lot of components to consider in the restitution phase. The amends process, these must be studied and explored. Use God, the big book, and your sponsor. And as long as we do the work and continue to do the work wherever possible and remain entirely willing to do our part, this is what will happen. The 9 step promises are found on page 83, last paragraph. Let's listen as Barbara reads page 83, last paragraph.
I'm Barbara.
Page 83, last paragraph.
If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And 5, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. 6, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. 7, the self-seeking will slip away. 8, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. 9, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. 10, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And 11, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
What phase of our development?
Step 8 and 9, the restitution phase.
Amazed before we are halfway through what?
Step 9, the amends process.
They will always materialize if we work for them. What work?
step 10, 11, and 12 daily. This is the work we must do.
Trivia. Did you know that there are 500 promises in the Big Book found within the title page and up to the including page 164?
In overview, what we have done up to and including this class, we look at the recovery process in terms of phases and spiritual principles.
Step one, the admission phase.
The spiritual principles of self-honesty.
Next is the submission phase, step two.
The spiritual principle of hope.
Step three.
The spiritual principle of faith.
Step four.
The spiritual principle of courage.
Step five.
The spiritual principle of integrity.
Step six.
The spiritual principle of willingness.
Step seven.
The spiritual principle of humility.
And next is the restitution phase, step eight.
The spiritual principle of justice and brotherly love.
Step nine.
The spiritual principles of good judgment and self-discipline. Next week's class is the construction phase.
Steps 10, 11, and 12. The 12th step reads, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The spiritual principles we just started will do four things.
Number one,
remove the obsession to drink.
Number two,
allow the sufferer to become happy.
Number three,
allow us to become useful.
Number four,
allow us to become whole.
So, we do not practice the 12 steps over and over again. We practice the principles that we just stated over and over again. Homework for this class is to read and discuss with your sponsor pages 76 through page 84 from the Big Book and complete step 8 and start step 9. This way, you'll be current with the class when we move on to the construction phase of AA's program of recovery.
Now's the time we pass the hat.